Come at Passover. Tell the person next to you that. Tell the person next to you that the King of Kings is coming. Tell them that this could be it. This could be the year the Messiah is coming to Jerusalem. Tell them. Tell the person next to you. Tell them that the Messiah is coming to save us. Tell the person next to you. Tell them that he's called Jesus. Tell them that he's brought Lazarus back from the dead. Tell them that Jesus is coming to be crowned king and to free us. Tell them that. You don't sound all that excited. So, what the people did was they waved palm branches. I haven't got a palm branch. Sadly, I couldn't find them somewhere in here. Got a flag though. So they were waving palm branches and they were throwing their clothes down onto the road to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. Let's hear the Bible passage read. Lucy's going to read from Mark chapter 11 from verses 1 to 11.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie here to talk to you about something really great, Palm Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Sunday that we paint our palms purple to commemorate King Saul talking to that palm reader lady, and then we wave them in the air.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it
no.
is. What Bible do you read?
Palm Sunday commemorates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now picture this. Jesus rode in on a donkey while the crowds put their cloaks and palm branches all over the ground, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David."
That's what I said. That's what I meant.
Okay, now picture this. Jesus' popularity was going viral. I mean, he just raised Lazarus from the dead in the same community just a few days earlier.
Wait, post-dead Lazarus was maybe at the very first Palm Sunday?
Yeah, probably.
That's so cool. I bet if he was there, he was probably like,
"And you're a thriller, thriller, Jesus. You raised me from the dead when you said, 'Get up, get up, get up, ooh!'"
Now, to complete all of this, Jesus needed a donkey. Now, you'd think that a king or a prince would ride in on a horse, but not Jesus. He knew the message that he wanted to send. You see, a donkey represents peace. Anybody riding a donkey represented peaceful intentions.
Yeah, it says right here in Matthew 21, it says that Jesus sent two of his disciples to get him a donkey.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder which two he sent.
Maybe Thomas.
I doubt it. I bet he sent Andrew. Andrew would totally do that. And probably Tony. I bet he said Andrew and Tony.
Tony's not a disciple.
Oh, sorry. Tony is.
Still not a disciple.
What translation of the Bible do you read?
Jesus needed a donkey, so he asked two disciples to go get him a donkey. He told them they would find one in town, tied there next to a colt.
Yeah. And then he says, untie them and bring them to me. And if somebody asks you about it, you tell them the Lord needs them? Jeez.
Yeah. What?
Well, Jesus told his disciples to go steal a donkey for him.
What Bible do you read? It doesn't say that at all.
I can't figure this out. I mean, Jesus, he changed water into wine. Cool. He fed the 4,000.
He fed the 5,000.
What?
He fed the 5,000.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Not the fourth. It's the 5,000.
We're splitting hairs.
I'm sorry.
Jesus fed a large group of people. And that's cool. He healed people with leprosy. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And then boom, he's like, hey guys, go steal me a donkey. I'm just saying, I don't think that's very WWJD.
The significance of Jesus riding on a donkey, which he did not steal, was to fulfill the prophecy that is found in Zechariah 9:9.
Yeah, but the...
And the king riding in on a lowly donkey with his way paved with palm branches. The palm branches symbolize triumph or victory.
The what?
The palm branches.
The branch...
Palm Sunday.
I thought it was the palm... They should call it Branch Sunday, because that's confusing. We all have palms with us all the time. I feel bad. I'm sorry, Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday is a time for us to prepare our hearts for the agony of his passion and the joy of his resurrection. So this week, let's cover the road to the cross with our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we reflect on the final week of Jesus' life.
And let's celebrate in anticipation the return of the King of Kings.
Those of you who haven't met those guys before, they're Tommy and Eddie. They're called the Skit Guys, and there's lots of videos online from them, all kinds of Bible stories that they do. We are going to celebrate. We are going to take your palm cross. And I know it's not a palm branch, but take your palm cross and stretch your hand into the air and kind of wave it around and use your imagination. If you want to come and get a flag to do likewise, then we are going to sing a song which is called Hosanna, which is what people were saying. And I'd like you to enter into this physically by waving things. If you're waving a flag, just be careful where the end of it waves. Hosanna, no one really knows what that means. It's like going, hooray for God. But a lot of people think it might mean God save us. God save us. So when we're singing Hosanna and we're waving it, we're calling for God to come and save us. So let's gather. If you want to come and get get a flag wheel. Let's stand together. Let's sing. And Matt will lead us. I encourage you to wave your branches and to enter into this. Hosanna, God save us.
O Lord our God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, 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 glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Let's sing together. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. God, Hosanna in the highest.
Amen. Please take
Amen. Do take a seat. If you could put your flags back in here, so we won't need them again for a while. Thank you. Imagine that procession going all the way into the city, into the temple, through the streets. And the reading told us in verse 11 that Jesus looked around the temple and then it was late. And so everyone went back to where they were staying. So we can all now sit down and have a bit of a rest. The next day, we are told that Jesus came back to the temple and he cleansed the temple. He drove out all the money changers and market traders, and he taught about fig trees and unanswered questions about who he was. The temple authorities didn't like it, didn't like what he was saying. They spoke about taxes and resurrection and the King David and the first commandment and the destruction of the temple and the coming of the Son of Man. Big, big themes. And then, at the beginning of chapter 14 of Mark, we hear that the religious leaders are plotting to kill Jesus. And we get a strange and a wonderful story, which Rachel is going to come and tell us now from Mark chapter 14.
What she has done will be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. This is the word.
Thanks be to God. Isn't that an amazing story? And the question I asked myself as I read that story, after Palm Sunday, after all the big themes that we've taught, is, what's it doing there? Why have we got, in Mark chapter 14, in between the triumphal entry and all that amazing teaching, and then Good Friday, why do we have this story in the middle? What's it doing here? So, I wanted to kind of test that out. And so I've got myself here. Try not to damage the church. Got a table. And what I'd like is some people to come and eat at this table. And I've even got some food. Who likes food? Who likes pita bread? Do you want to come and sit at this table? Come and sit at the table. Come to the table. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus, and who likes grapes? Ah, grapes. And in a minute, I'll bring out something else, but we'll do the grapes and the pita bread first. So feel free to eat if your parents allow you to. And if you're older and you want to come up, feel free to come up. This is not purely for the children to do. So my question is, what is this story doing here? Why is Jesus going to Simon the leper's house? Simon the leper's house for a simple meal. Imagine what it would have been like to have been there, that room, in that meal, in Bethany. Our host is Simon the leper, who had a disease at some point, clearly, because he wouldn't have been known as Simon the leper otherwise, would he? Simon, who was most sensible people would probably not go near Simon for fear of catching anything, but Jesus we find eating at Simon the leper's house. Simon is an outcast, and this is just before the Passover. So to eat with Simon the leper would also prevent you from having the Passover in some people's mind in case you caught a disease from him. But here, it's here in Mark 14, we find Jesus in this house. The Palm Sunday King sitting and reclining and eating with Simon the outcast. And in she walks. In walks this woman. The woman who is not named in Mark's Gospel. She doesn't even have a name. Who is this person? This woman that comes in and out she pulls a white jar. And she breaks the top of it and she pours the whole content of the jar onto Jesus' head. What is going on here? Perhaps this jar is her whole life savings. Perhaps it's an heirloom. Perhaps it's the only thing that she has of value. But she pours it out on Jesus in worship. And Jesus says that she's anointing his body for burial. This unnamed woman is perhaps the only person in the whole story thus far to admit that Jesus is about to die. She accepts that, she trusts that, and she does what she can in response. She worships him. What is this story doing here in Mark 14? It's here to remind us that Jesus doesn't die for glory or for prestige or to prove his teaching is right. He hasn't come to win an argument or to show who he is. He has come for the outcasts, the lepers, the lowly in society, those who know they need God. He has come humbly on a donkey to die for you and for me. He has come to give his life as a ransom for many, for anyone who will receive his sacrifice, for Simon the leper, for this woman, for me and for you. Jesus comes to die because of our sinfulness so we might live. This coming week, we could try and understand and make sense of Jesus' death in our own worldly way. We could reflect on the big themes of Jesus' death and what it might mean or not mean. We could reject what he says about himself and what the Bible says, or we could seek to sit with Jesus and Simon the leper at his table and this woman and wonder that he does this for us. And accept that he dies for us and worship as this woman does by giving everything that is precious to her to Jesus. We can stand at a distance and watch the crucifixion of Jesus, or we can come close and receive from him. Matt and Noel are going to come and lead us in a song as we respond in however way we want to anything that has struck us from this story this morning. And while he does that, I'll bring the final bit of bowl out for you guys. Thank you very much for helping.
Let's stand together as we respond to what we've heard.
Grace that I found in you. come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. With you, your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. Renew my mind as your